next letter would be the Holy Letters in Volume 4, 1053. And this is Baruch Hashem, the 17th day of Sivan Toshnal in Brooklyn. Peace and blessing. The Rebbe says, I have with pleasantness received. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Sha'akal Nivu Dvarei.
Amen.
Received the book, the Sefer called Kocha de Reshbi, the power of the Rav Shimon Bar Yochai that was sent to me. Which, by the way, when I was now in Israel, I visited also the gravesite of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai in Meron. And it's like unbelievable what's going on there, like on a regular, this was a, we were there on Tuesday. And nothing, you know, nothing out of the ordinary, but it was jam-packed and it was like, you know, a lot of people came to pray there and the place was full with, you know, collectors and people selling stuff. And but there was also a lot of people praying over there. And they happened to have a Chabad camp, an overnight camp, right next door to the, and it happened to be visiting day, apparently. In Israel, there's no such thing as Sunday because Sunday's a regular day, work day. So Sunday, so they make visiting day any day of the week. You know, by us, traditionally, we do it on Sunday.
Right.
But over there, it doesn't matter. So they happened to be doing it on that Tuesday that I was there. So we had all these people coming from all over Israel, from Kfar Chabad and all over Israel, which I never knew. They have their own bus company in Kfar Chabad. So that was like something unique that I saw, you know, their bus station and various different, you know, from different community over there. So the Rebbe says, as the saying goes, so the Rebbe gives him a thank you. So it's basically this person is the one that sent the Rebbe the book. He didn't write the book, but he sent it to the Rebbe. So the Rebbe quotes him a statement of the sages in the Talmud. They say that the wine, you know, you have the butler serving the wine, you know, at the meal. So the butler is the one that serves the wine, but he doesn't own the wine. But when he serves you a cup of wine, what do you say? You say thank you. So you're giving a thank you to the butler, but the wine actually doesn't belong to him. He's working for the owner. So it's called Chamro Lemoro. The wine is owned by the master, but this thank you, the gratitude goes to the butler, the one who pours you the drink to the ring. So he says, the Rebbe explains over here that when could you say thank you? It's only if you're talking about a human being. You're talking about a person, a Jewish person, who could... You can only tell him thank you if he has a choice to do it or not to do it. For example, you don't say thank you to an angel or to somebody who's not, in this case, who doesn't have a choice, who's not Ben Bris, which means he does it sort of because Hashem pushes him to do it. So they don't have any choices to go ahead and do anything else. So there's no point in saying a thank you to them. Because it's they're not doing anything. So a person, a Jewish person who has a choice, he can either give you the wine or not give you the wine. But this is just an example of wine. But anything, he can either do it for you or not do it for you. Then we thank him for making the good choice to do so. So the Rebbe is basically saying to the person, you sent me the book. You had the option to send it to me or not to send it to me. So the fact that you sent it to me, I'm staying giving you a thank you because that was something that you had a choice in. And the Rebbe says, I want to also ask you to please give over my thank you to the author of this book for his gift. And if he also is able to please send his other books to our library, or we can exchange with some of the books that we publish over here in the Kohos. And this is very thank you, the Rebbe says from the beginning. And the Rebbe says, let it be the strength of the author for printing a book which is connected to the esoteric part of Torah in general, and specifically to the book of the Zohar, because in the way words of the Zohar, the Jewish people will go out of exile with the book of the Zohar, with mercy, very quickly in our days. But Rebbe says, I am surprised a little bit that it appears in many places in this book that the author did taste, or he was aware of, the teachings of the students of the Baal Shem Tov and the Baal Shem Tov and his students. But yet I hadn't found so far that he should bring anything from the teaching of Chabad, even though that in the teachings of Chabad it's explained there in his book over there. There's an unfortunate phenomenon that even today, sometimes that people will publish books, but there is like said, I don't applying it to this case, but I'm applying it into the cases now, even into areas in which there's major contributions in the interpretations of various different, like a Haggadah, for example, and many other books, in which there's a major contribution from the Rebbe and the Rebbe's and systematically they don't quote the Rebbe, you know, just like trying to continue an old kind of to ignore the fact, you know, the contribution, which is unbelievable. The Rebbe doesn't need anybody's approval for his contribution and for his insight into every part of Torah, but there is still that some small-headed people that do that. But in this case, the Rebbe says, I'm surprised. He says, there were days by gone, the Rebbe says, that in certain circles, they were afraid of studying the teachings of Chabad. And that was based upon that they considered that to be too...
different level?
Yeah, and too far away. In other words, they didn't want to... based on,
it's like
there's a verse that...
like studying Kabbalah.
Yeah, so the teaching Chabad was like... the people just said, we don't have to understand, we just got to believe in God. So there was no like intellectual explanation or connection, just believe in God. As we find in the books of the Tzaddik of Zedichev and others, that I guess from there, they were not keen about studying the teachings of Chassidus Chabad. And that is exactly what you said. That's exactly just like some generations before us, there were many of the great amongst Israel were worried about generally publicizing Chassidus, the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov. And generations before that, they were afraid of teaching of the Zohar. So, you know, it sort of evolved over the years. After many tens of years have passed and the Zohar has been publicized, after tens of years have passed, after the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov and his the Baal Shem Tov and his teaching have been revealed, and later on they illuminated, and they also continue to shine now. We have the six luminaries of the leaders of Chabad, starting from the Alter Rebbe until my father-in-law, the Rebbe. So this has been decided with the actual very clear living proof that when you reflect on the results of the study of the Zohar and of the study of the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, and in our generation especially from those who are diligent in the teachings and the study of the Chassidus Chabad, so it is goes without any doubt that the Zohar is the tree of life. The teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, those are the wellsprings over which Mashiach spoke with the Baal Shem Tov. And the teaching of Chassidus Chabad is the way now to understand the Zohar, and this is the way in which the wellsprings will be spread out to the outside, in which Mashiach will come, Da'osimar, Do'malka Mashiach. And we, all of us, that we had the great privilege, even though that our generation isn't the greatest generation, that right now they revealed, and they revealed in a plentiful way, Bishufi, many of the secrets, the esoterics of the teachings of the Zohar and the Chassidus, till the extent that they become also understood in the intellect, in the Chabad, in the soul, at least we know their existence, even though we don't, may not know their essence. As for example, one can say, like electricity. People know that what electricity can do, the impact, maybe they don't understand what is electricity, they still don't understand what electricity is, but they do know what electricity can do. So, Rebbe, this is an expression. Sometimes, you know, you understand something, you know of its existence, you may not be able to fully comprehend what it is, but you know about its existence. So that's minimally for Chassidus. So through that, also the power of the intellect of the soul becomes united with the knowledge of God, how God fills the world, surrounds the world, that everything before Him is considered as naught, is not counted into anything. And it's not just the power of belief, it's something which is comprehensible. But if somebody who does not at this point fulfill the expression of chatoive, choil chatoive ishti, you gotta grab and eat and grab and drink, which means sometimes when there are things are, everything is in an orderly way, you sit down to the meal, you add this, and you take this. First you add the hors d'oeuvres, and then you have the first course, and then you have the second course, you know, and then everything is in order. But that's when times are good. But sometimes, you know, you don't know what's going to be, you know, with that, you know, how long it's going to last. So you just, something comes out, you grab right away, so you eat and you drink, make sure that you satisfy yourself. You can't wait. You can't wait for things to fall into place in the orderly way. Same thing is with the time of Golus now. We have to grab and eat, even though so that he knows to, so one who does not fulfill to grab that the new teachings are there, even though he knows about it through this divine providence, so he knows that his existing of Torah's Chassidus, so that arouses a very big surprise. I mean, why not take advantage of this? In addition to that, since he has the ability to occupy this part of Torah, and he doesn't do it, so then you have not fulfilled in the study of Torah to your abilities. Quotes from the Tzemach, references that the laws of the Talmud Torah for the Admiraz, for the Alter Rebbe, and over there it says like this, quoting there, that anybody whose soul has the ability to grasp from the knowledge of Torah, that is his completion, and the person cannot correct and to complete his bound of life with Hashem, with its source, in word in which he was carved, without knowledge. So you need that knowledge in order to fully attach yourself to carve to Hashem. I don't need to prolonging this, and this is something which is understood and very simple. And the Rebbe says, I'm going to point to a few places, not all of them, in which we find it in the various different places. In Chassidus, the Rebbe brings down from the Tanya, from the Lechut Torah, and in various different places over there. And then the Rebbe finally says, I'm going to finish off that what you can say in the saying of our sages, which is the opening of the book of his book of Koichad Rashbi. So the Rebbe is quoting now something from his book. His book was called The Power of Shemei Choy. And that is from the Yerushalmi in Sanhedrin, Perek Aleph, Halacha Beis. Over there it says that when Rabbi Akiva gave over the smicha, that means that he authorized him to become a Rabbi Meir, to become a rabbi, and also to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So he said, let Rabbi Meir sit, and he basically gave more honor, Rabbi Akiva, their teacher, gave more honor to Rabbi Meir more than he gave to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. He gave more honor, so he became very, his face became very, very upset, very sad. So Rabbi Akiva said to him, "Dayach shani u'beirecha makirin kichacha." He says, it's sufficient to you that I and your creator recognize your power. Which means that maybe the people over there could not appreciate Rav Shimon Bar Yochai to the extent he says, I as your rabbi, maybe Rav Meir is sitting in front. He's sitting on the ground because he's sort of more, for the people to understand, see his greatness. But your greatness, he says, it's sufficient that me, that I, and your creator, Hashem, recognize your greatness. That's what he said about Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. So the Rebbe says, well, it's a little surprising what he... So what does he say? Since he's saying to him, I recognize your strength, so if Rabbi Akiva recognizes Rav Shimon, so why doesn't he send him, why didn't he set him down first? So if he knows that he's greater, why don't give him the honor also in the visible way? And if the power of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, if he doesn't have that strength to be first, so he should have told him. And it doesn't make a difference, the fact that I know your strength, but what does it help? So there's a commentary that says that the mayor was actually the older one. And therefore, he was sitting there, he had to give him more honor because he was the elderly. So he says, but according to this, the answer doesn't say at all in the, so that he's not understood. It doesn't say, when he asked him, when he felt bad, he didn't say to him, well, he's the older one, that's why I set him up front. He just says, I know the strength. So what does that mean? Then also, in the way he told it to him, he says, me and your creator. Why did he say creator? Why didn't he say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God? Why didn't he say Rachmana? Why did he say your creator? Which is the common language expression in our sages in the Drasha. Especially, this acquisition of Torah comes to the Chacham not because they were created that. They has nothing to do with the created being. It seems like it has to do with the development of their study of Torah. So why are we talking about your creator here in this context? But the usually one becomes a sage putting in the effort, in which we find in the Pirkei Avot there's 48 various different advantages in which one puts an effort in. And also language, he says, your strength. Why doesn't it say your wisdom? Because we're dealing over here by giving semicha to the elders to make them, authorize them to be rabbis. So we're not talking about strength over here, we're talking about wisdom. So he says, should have said, I and your creator know your wisdom. And also, he says, I and your creator know. Why doesn't he should say the opposite? He should say, your creator and I. Who comes first? He puts himself first. It's sufficient to you. He should have put Hashem before him. So the Rebbe explains now very briefly, and he says, it's no time now to prolong this. And I guess we'll leave the answer for another time, because this is a little bit long for us as well.